If you play sports games in 2014, you need Operation Sports. Whether you're knee-deep in an online league, building your offline player career, living the ultimate team life, or simply enjoying one-off games against your friends, Operation Sports will help you get everything possible out of your favorite sports game. The legendary forums at Operation Sports go deep on every topic imaginable, for not just the latest games on the newest platforms, but also some of your favorite ones from years past. You name it, they've got it. Gameplay tips, roster analysis, sliders, critical analysis, wish lists, and terrific places to meet other like-minded sports gamers to form game-specific leagues and communities. Madden, NBA 2K, UFC, MLB The Show, NHL, NCAA, NBA Live, WWE, Forza, Gran Turismo, and more. Of course, that's not all. Operation Sports keeps you up to date with the latest news from around the sports gaming world, along with in-depth reviews, previews, press releases, and opinion. Each community member can also create their own arena where you, too, can blog about anything sports or sports game related to your heart's content. Operation Sports also produces great audio content, including the Dual Threat podcast, as well as the Press Row podcast, the definitive sports game show. 2014 is going to be another groundbreaking year for sports game. Be sure to make Operation Sports the center of it all. Operation Sports, dedicated to sports game.
Hello, this is the Press Row Podcast with my daddy.
Welcome to the Press Row Podcast, brought to you by Operation Sports. I'm your host, Richard Grisham. Hey everybody, Rich Grisham here. Thank you as always for listening. Hope you're having a great E3 week. It is E3, obviously, and with that, we continue a tradition of sorts here by chatting with some of the key developers of the big sports games in the market about what they've got cooking. And so we start that today with a couple of interviews with folks from the Madden 15 development team. Up first, we have Rex Dixon from the Gameplay. He's a creative director of Gameplay to talk all about gameplay improvements, modifications, and changes in the upcoming Madden NFL 15 on the PS4 and the Xbox One. And after that, we have Brian Murray talking about the presentation. And this will be Brian's first time on the Press Row Podcast. Rex is, he's been on the show several times. So it's good to have them both on. It's especially good to have them on as they were preparing for E3. There's a million things they have to do. So thanks to them for coming on. We hope you enjoy it. I hope you enjoy E3. And thanks for listening, as always. Well, all right, here we are. It is E3 time, which means that it is time, feels like finally, to talk about Madden NFL 15 on the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One. We are here once again with Rex Dixon, the creative director for Gameplay for the Madden NFL franchise. Rex, welcome back to the Press Row Podcast.
Thanks, Rich. Thanks for having me.
So I'm very excited. As everybody knows, I play a lot of Madden. I'm not particularly good at it, but I have been I've definitely enjoyed the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, next gen launch versions of Madden. There's been a lot of good stuff, and I think what I think everybody who plays Madden would say is that the game that launched last year on the next gen consoles was strong, and that it could probably be improved in every way. Rex, I imagine you probably have the same sort of feeling. I imagine you're proud of what you accomplished with the next-gen launch, but you probably had a whole lot of stuff that you wanted to address. So I kind of want to start, before we get into it, though, Rex, why don't you just give us, I mean, you have been on the show before, but give us your background. How did you come to EA, and what is your role? You know, what does the creative director for Gameplay actually do for the Madden franchise?
So I've been in the industry for quite a long time, since about, I think, 95, 97, around those years. I was actually in the first-person shooter space for many years. I worked previously with the Los Angeles studio on Medal of Honor. I've worked on the Turok franchise, the Homefront franchise, and a few others. What brought me over to EA in the football is basically I played football in college, and I was always a big NCAA and Madden gamer. But the opportunity to actually break into sports video gaming seemed like too big a jump for somebody coming from FPS, so I never even considered it. But happened to be part of the THQ, fall apart. And as I was looking, I noticed that EA was looking for a creative director. I applied, kind of pitched my vision to Cam Weber and Roy Harvey, and that's kind of what got me the job. Just kind of had an idea of where the franchise should be going in, pitched it during my interview, and they seemed to be on board. I do specialize in building design teams, building, managing, mentoring designers, and that's pretty much what I do here is run the gameplay design team as well as, all of the gameplay team.
So you've been doing this now for a couple, two or three years. Is this your third Madden that you've been working on, or second or fourth?
Madden 13, I came in about midway through the cycle.
Okay.
So that wasn't necessarily the year that was my vision. It was just mainly about shepherding physics that year and making sure that we had a decent launch with that big technology. So really, that was my first year here, but my first game full-on as creative director was Madden 25, and then this will be the third.
And not to get too philosophical, but, you know, what are some of the things that you've learned as you have gone through the process, as you've learned the core mechanics of Madden, as you've learned what the next-gen consoles can offer you, you know, what are some of the key things that have sort of struck you as you've really settled into your role? And this is now the second Madden that you've really been able to really sink your teeth into and help lead the gameplay charge.
There's a million different directions I could go with that answer. Coming from first-person shooters to sports, there was a lot of learning to do. A lot of things are different. I could go down a million different tangents. Probably the biggest thing is understanding the value of tuning and balance in this game, because regardless of what features you build in a given year, if you ship a game that is imbalanced in any one way or multiple ways, as we've done sometimes in the past, it really hurts the overall game and people just stop playing it. So if you think about Madden 25 Gen 3, pretty decent game, but the outside run game was overpowered, coverage was too loose, and generally those things start to detract from the overall game and makes it less fun to play over time. Versus when you get that balance right and everything feels kind of like the stats are matching up to what you'd expect and nothing's really blowing out 100% of the time, it works perfectly. That's sort of my golden chalice with this game, is hitting that perfect tuning model where, you know, there's no major money plays, there's no game-breaking things, and everything just feels tight and balanced. That's my biggest learning about this franchise, is how important that part of the job is.
So looking back on the next gen, the PS4, the Xbox One launches of Madden 25, what worked best in your mind? Like, where did you really nail it with those games?
That's a good question. As a creative director, I don't really feel we nailed anything last year. It was, I'd love to tell you that I'm very hard to please. Even when we put stuff out, I'm usually not happy with it. I think overall for me, the biggest thing was the fundamental shift away from, not necessarily away from, but moving more towards simulation and away from sort of arcade. I felt like a lot of Madden Gen 3 had started moving around stick skills and learning the money plays and stuff like that. And Gen 4 for me felt like a big shift towards simulation, towards authenticity. That was very important for me because that was our primary guiding pillar, is authentic simulation football. In other words, the game equals what I see on Sundays. And so to see some reviews come out and say this is the most realistic Madden ever, and even that IGN review that was very controversial about this Madden may be too real for its own good, like, that is the best compliment that guy could have paid us. And so that's probably my proudest moment, is just how we started really shifting the game towards authentic simulation, and people are taking note of that.
You know, you bring up reviews. How much attention do you pay to reviews of your game? And what aspect of them do you think probably
Do they influence where you go at all, or is it more of a you just sort of read them to see what the you know the quote unquote the quote unquote press thinks about it? You know, how do you when you read a review and you process it? You know, do you really pay that much attention to what's going on?
Yes. The thing is, when you work in games, especially big console game development, Metacritic is a very real thing, and it's a very real pressure that you get. Even from, like, you'd imagine an exec in EA who doesn't necessarily play sports games, his impression of Madden is generally, what was the Metacritic and how much did it sell? So there's a lot of people there who, so Metacritic is actually very important in terms of, like, where does the game stand from an overall quality perspective? Now, in terms of being reactive to reviews, we generally don't react to individual comments and reviews. What we do is we do a chart that basically takes every feature that's talked about in all the reviews. We collate this all together. We mark whether or not the feature was talked about in a positive or negative light. And then that gives us, when we collate all the reviews and do this whole process, we sort of see which features are really, like, everybody's talking positively about. And then we'll see features on the bottom of the list where pretty much, like, universally everybody has issues with it or is negative about it. The things that are on the bottom of the list invariably will get in a focus the following cycle. It's like we have to bring this thing up because it's dragging down our overall quality. So that's kind of how we use it. Generally, when you ask the question about does it affect what we work on, it mainly affects how many resources we push into an area. In terms of the ideas that we're building, that usually doesn't involve reviews. That's mainly coming from forums, the community, you know, just a big collated collection of all the stuff we're hearing, as well as the ideas that are important to us internally. But we have a 3 to 5 year plan that's pretty much locked in. Obviously, we're able to adapt and change based on what we need to do, but we know where we're going with this game now. There's no questions about what the big things we are building next year and the year after are. We have a vision, and we're following it.
So you're given a fairly finite amount of time to design, execute, to test, and then green light gameplay changes, you know, per annual release. Now, I presume every year you have a vision or a philosophy, which then breaks down into more specific items that get fleshed out. So, Rex Dixon, from the gameplay perspective, what is your vision or philosophy for Madden NFL 15?
Well, the overall philosophy for the Madden franchise, as I said before, is authentic simulation football. And the way that that guides me in gameplay is when we look at something, when we look at an outcome, I'll give you an example. We were working on coverage this year. It was a very big theme for us, especially coming off of the way Gen 3 coverage was received. We had Stevenson Sylvester and Cortez Allen from the Steelers come in. And they actually sat with gameplay designer Mike Scantlebury and the engineer who's working on that feature, a guy named Greg Fields, and basically broke down, like, individual coverages and what they were seeing. And he said, like, well, in that situation, if I'm leveraging that receiver, I'm looking at this for the quarterback. And then we actually implement the exact behavior he's describing to us in the game. And that's just, like, one example of what we're doing now. Of the guiding principle is, how would this work in real life? What would this player do in real life? And then implementing that behavior. That's the same reason we rewrote blocking, and instead of hiring, like, a gameplay designer, we hired a guy from the NFL because we wanted it to be real. We wanted it to follow real world rules, not gameplay rules. So that's sort of the guiding design principle, is make it real, make it feel real. And that's what we do for gameplay. It covers another very important thing. To touch back on what I said earlier about balance and tuning, we had a bunch of our designers got together and did a statistical analysis of NFL statistics, seeing what the average, like, score differential, passing yards, quarterback rating, fumbles, interceptions. We set those up as targets. So we basically scaled that data based on the length of quarters that you would be playing in the game, and we came up with tuning targets. And throughout all of alpha and beta this year, we've been playing games and seeing how the results of those games match up to those targets. And again, it's another example of how we're using real-world data to tune and balance the game.
Interesting. So I know very little about the plans for Madden NFL 15, but I have been given a little bit of information prior to this. So I'm going to need you to lead me down the path the right way. But it does appear that there's a pretty heavy focus on defense this year. And first question is, why defense and why now?
So, yeah, there was a heavy focus on defense this year. I think this was always coming. I think we knew a few years ago when I started that this was in our top five. It was just big enough that we needed the right year to go after it. So the primary reason why we chose to go after something like this is generally community feedback and reviews, listening to what people were saying. I'll give you some quotes that I wrote down. You know, over the last couple of years, defense is not fun. I always sim defense. And then one reviewer even wrote, I'm a detriment to my team when I play defense.
I might so have written that.
Yeah. So when you hear that kind of stuff as a developer, you know, and you think about, like, defense is 50% of our game and people are simming it, like, it's that bad. So that you don't really need much more compulsion to go after something and say, look, we've got to figure out why this is happening and what the problems are. So we knew that this was our big thing going in this year. 50% of the game isn't fun for most people. That's obviously the number one thing you need to work on. So the main thing we did from that point is just break down what the problems were. And it came in three basic areas. The first one was tackling. People are bad at tackling in Madden. Anyone who plays Madden is familiar with just diving on your face and falling on the ground while the ball carrier runs right by you. There's a million reasons why. I could go on and on and on about all the reasons why that problem happens, but the main one was it's really hard from an isometric camera that has you flipped and coming down at the screen to be able to judge spatial distances and directional headings, especially at the speed Madden plays. And also when you tie into that, the fact that a ball carrier is coming downhill while you're moving laterally or strafing, so your ability to turn is much more impacted than the ball carrier who's already running at top speed downhill. So you can basically, all the cards were stacked against the defense when it came to tackling. And when we analyzed the problem, what we realized was you needed some sort of way to be able to judge spatial distances and directional facing. And once we gave you those two things, and those come as part of our new player ring, which is, you know, something that you're familiar with and seeing in 2K basketball and some other sports games where they give you a lot of feedback on your player ring to tell you, you know, what's going on with the mechanics or shot timing or stuff like that.
Yeah.
So now our tackling mechanic actually has feedback built into the player ring so you know the correct distance. The other piece of it was, I think a few years ago they moved away from they overreacted to this idea of suction tackling. So they made all tackles will only match on collision. So basically, you know, you could be off by, you know, a foot or two and just miss the guy by like slightly grazing your hand and you'd miss the tackle. And I'm like, you know, in my head I'm like, well, in real life if you get that close, you're going to reach out and you're going to lunge and you're going to dive and you're going to grab. And we were failing on that. So part of the new mechanic is being able to match the tackles from a distance. So if you're like 2 or 3 yards away, but you got your facing lined up and you press the tackle button, we're going to allow you to match from a distance. You don't actually need to get the actual per pixel collision in order for your tackle to work. The next piece of it for us was controls. And you're going to see that this basically is a theme for defense this year, that we moved a lot of stuff off of the right stick because people were just kind of spamming the stick. And now the tackle is actually two buttons. It's A and X, A being your conservative tackle and X being your aggressive tackle or hit stick. And X also will dive from a distance. So basically what this does, and I'll just kind of encapsulate it for you, you can expect, and I'm going to qualify this and say for most of the users who play Madden, you can expect up to a 60 to 70% improvement in your open field tackling success rate because now you have all these tools and feedback systems that tell you where you need to be, what you need to do, and when you need to press the button, and it just works. So that was the first piece of fixing tackling. Second piece was pass rush. Now, generally, you know, if you talk to most people, they wouldn't say that pass rush in Madden is a big problem. But what we learned is a few, like last year, or I think in Madden 25, we started putting telemetry hooks in the game. And basically, telemetry allows us to track things that are going on in the game, and it sends data back to us from what's going on online. And we're influencing a lot of tuning and gameplay decisions based on that telemetry data. One of the data points we got back was that almost 50% of the people who play defense in Madden played on the defensive line and strictly rushed the passer.
I am one of those guys. All I do is ever take my defensive tackle, and that's all that I do because I'm too scared to do anything else because I'm too scared.
Yep. So we, knowing that 50% of the people play defense rushing the passer, we wanted to make that a point of emphasis. And we've completely redone that whole system. So it's no longer on the right stick where you're just kind of spamming the right stick and hoping that you get off the block. There's feedback systems on the player ring, just like tackling. The pass rush controls have moved to A and X, A being your finesse move and X being your power move. And we had actually Clint Oldenburg spent the most amount of time on this, and being an offensive lineman, he just knew a lot about moves and counter moves and win chances and which players should be better than other players. And we really blew this feature out, and it's super, super fun this year. We put in a lot of stuff under the hood that just makes rushing the passer feel better. It looks better. You're going to see a ton of new animations, and it's just super fun this year to blitz and to rush the passer. The other piece of it, which I'll get into in a little bit. A few years ago, we had this mechanic called jump the snap, and it was very polarizing for a variety of reasons I won't get into. It's since been removed from the game, and this year we've kind of re-envisioned it, and we built it the right way. And what it's called the off-the-line mechanic, and it allows you to basically use the right trigger or the acceleration burst to get a jump start on the snap. So if you're watching the ball and the quarterback snaps it and you time the right trigger within a window of the snap, you actually get a boost to your pass rush win chances. So what this allows you to do is if you're like blitzing with a linebacker and you get the boost and you get that bonus to your win chance, you can actually blow up the blocker and make big plays in the backfield. It's a super fun mechanic. The counter to it is, though, fake snap this year is more valid than ever because people who are trying to use this mechanic against you, you can really pull them off sides by using fake snap. We've done some interesting things on the Xbox One with rumble in the triggers on the fake snaps that tends to get people jumpy and makes them pull. So there's a ton of other stuff as well within pass rush, but those are the main features in terms of user mechanics around tackling and pass rush. Now, the third piece and possibly the most important piece is coverage. The main thing that I knew about coverage is if all these people are rushing the passer, what is their expectation of coverage? And the expectation people have of coverage is, I expect my AI players to do their job. That's basically all people want. But when you look at the game last year and you look at certain defenses like cover two and cover three, and they're not really defending the routes that they're supposed to properly, players aren't doing the things that they're supposed to do properly, all of that's been redone this year. Our hope is that this year, when you play online, people aren't constantly running two-man under, because there's plays that beat that now. It's more this year about knowing which routes will find weaknesses in the zones, where the holes in the zones are, and then capitalizing on them. But the main piece is, especially coming off of Gen 3, for those of the listeners who didn't play Madden 25 Gen 4, you're going to find that coverage AI in the game is radically different than it's ever been before. There's tons of reasons. We've completely just redone zone logic, completely... man's been redone. You'll see a lot more of defenders in shallow zones playing chucks on receivers, which throws off route timing. There's players like Richard Sherman and Patrick Peterson and Eric Berry. There's a few corners and safeties in the game right now who are extremely dangerous to throw against. And what's great about that is it's only elite players that feel that way. It's not like globally it's happening. Like, when you play Seattle, you just don't throw at Richard Sherman's side. You learn really quick it's a bad idea to throw against him. So mismatches and ratings are more important than ever this year, which has been a huge hit with our Game Changers community. But the overall thing is, so this year on defense, pass rush and tackling mechanics have been redone, and you'll find much more effective. and then coverage AI works, and it works the way it's supposed to. And it's generally, that whole thing was built with feedback from a former NFL defensive coordinator, from those two players from the Steelers that came in and worked with us. I mean, we went straight to the professionals and even talked to Coach Madden extensively about coverage, what we were doing wrong, what we were doing right, and what needed to change. So those three things combined represent that big defensive fun theme.
Okay, so I've got about 1,000 questions because I still play. I play Madden every day. That's not true, not every day, but I am in a Madden, you know, online league, the Press Row Podcast League, with a bunch of my friends from the show and from various places, including Donnie Moore, who is in the league this year, as a matter of fact. So I play a lot, and I'm not good at a lot of stuff. So number one, the thing that you said that piqued my interest is feedback. I'm a huge NBA 2K fan. I play that almost every day, in particular the My Career mode, which I believe, Rex, you also mentioned on the end of the year show is one of your favorite modes too. And I love the feedback. Like when I'm taking a foul shot, I know if I released it too early or too late. If I'm taking a jumper, I know not only whether I released it too early or on time or too late, I know if the quality of the shot. You mentioned feedback. How is that feedback displayed to the user? Is that in real time? Is it in replay? How does that work?
It's in real time. We've built a new player ring this year. So like previously, I'll just give you an example. Previously, in order to check your player's like stamina, you would have to go into the pause menu and look at their level of fatigue, and now all that stuff is kind of just displayed. We built this all new 3D-looking player ring. So you're getting feedback systems in terms of like that off-the-line mechanic I told you about. There's little like text that'll pop up that'll say early, late, or perfect, depending on your timing. There are these sort of these colored ripples that come out to tell you when you've been successful on a pass rush move. Now, the way we set this up, because we know that simulation players don't necessarily want this stuff, is it's off on all Madden. It's sort of limited on all pro, and then all these systems are on rookie and pro. So you can actually toggle how much feedback you want in the settings menu. There's a whole bunch of options for what you want to show, what you don't want to show. But generally, all of it is around giving you some feedback so that you know what's going on. Because previously in Madden, you're kind of having to just watch the animations to figure out, but now you get direct feedback from your input to know your timing. And what we're learning over the time of testing this game in alpha is that people usually turn it on for a few games, and then once they get kind of used to it, they tend to toggle it off once they kind of understand the distances and the timing. But generally, it represents a pretty big shift for us. But, you know, we need to make the features of this game accessible to casual users as well as hardcore people who spend months labbing and learning. And that's what this is all about. It's making sure that those people who struggle with the complexity of Madden's controls, and they're certainly very complicated, giving them some help.
You know, you bring up something that, you know, it seems like I have this conversation every year, but we do because there are a lot of different people who are potential customers of Madden. I mean, Madden is the only NFL product that is available. So, you know, consumers don't have a choice. You have to serve your core constituents, I would presume, first, right? I mean, the people who buy Madden every single year, you know, the sim guys, the hardcore guys, are the ones who pick apart the game the most. And it seems clear to me that you want to please them, which is why it sounds like you say you don't even turn the feedback on all pro, which is the level that these guys typically go to. But then you do have your, you know, the casuals, and casual could mean one of 100 things. Like I consider myself casual when I talk to the hardcore guys, but when I talk to people who don't play a lot of Madden or a lot of sports game, I'm this super crazy hardcore freak. So I'm curious how you sort of balance trying to please and, you know, get the core guys excited, because they are your best opportunity for the best press and the best feeling about the game, versus, okay, well, there are these potential millions of people out there, you know, particularly, you know, the PS4, the Xbox One, these are new consoles. You know, you have some early-ish adopters who might be willing to pick up a Madden game if they haven't for the last few years. Like, How do you balance that and try to appeal to everybody when we all know trying to appeal to everybody is usually a recipe for appealing to nobody?
Yeah. Well, you know, you really can't cater to any one group. People are usually vocal about the things that are important to them. The online hardcore community guys are the most vocal of all, but there's this other group within our core that we call the simulation guys, and they're very vocal as well. And what I found is kind of interesting is both groups kind of want the same thing. Simulation guys want no money plays, you know, because in real life, there's no such thing as a money play. Defense would do something to stop it. And the hardcore tournament guys said the same thing. Like, we don't want any money plays either. Ruined online play, because that's all anybody runs once they discover it. So what I found is actually, even though their motivations might be slightly different, everybody's kind of getting back to this. They all want the same thing. They want it to work like football, right? They don't want it to be work like some, you know, random video game with random ideas and certain plays just always work and certain things never work. They want it to work like football. Like, this play works against this defense, but it doesn't work against that defense. Now, in terms of the other thing, what we call the casual, two terms we sometimes throw around on the dev team floor. One of them is Johnny Walmart and Timmy Target. And we generally consider, like, these are the guys who, you know, maybe they get it as a Christmas present from their mom, or maybe they just pick it up every year so they have it to play with their friends on their couch. And it's really interesting when you watch these guys play, because a lot of time they'll just, you know, call four verts or Hail Mary and just lob it up every single play. And that's fun for them. And so be it. But for us, it's more about, can we bring more people into the fold? Let's say Madden has a year where our Metacritic is a 90. Is that the thing that's going to pull more people in? Is that the thing that's going to grab, you know, 10% more users to come in and say, well, I might as well go back and try it this year if it's that good? Or is it something else? You know, is it some new mode? Like, maybe if Madden had an equivalent to 2K's, you know, be a player mode where it's all cinematic and story-based, is that the thing that will pull them in? So really for us, it's about how do we increase the size of the audience, and what is the, you know, if the current game, like if Mutt is, you know, too complicated or you know, CFM is just too much time investment, what's the idea that's going to bring in that new group of people who decide that this is the year they want to play Madden because of this reason? And that's really what it's about. Now, the other side of that coin is, and I use this a lot, one of our concurrent themes since I've been here is NFL strategy. And it's actually something Coach Madden charged me with in my first meeting with him. He said, you know, my vision for this product has always been that ultimately we get to a point where coaches can use this to teach players, where people can learn about the sport of football and become more knowledgeable because they're playing Madden. So strategy has been a very important thing for us. And as the game becomes more realistic, you know, if our guiding pillar is what I see on Sundays, and, you know, as we tighten up coverage and make players play like they do in real life, the game is going to get harder. By very nature, the more sim you go, it tends to get harder. Or people need to understand the rules of the game if the game is playing like it does in real life. So our responsibility to train people how football works, to know what a dagger concept is and how you run it, to know how to read a read key defender on a read option. All these things that are fairly complicated, it's our responsibility to teach people how they work. And the goal is that when you go in real life and maybe you're watching a game on Sunday and all of a sudden you're like, oh, look at RG3. He just made the wrong read on a read option. I would have made the right read because Madden showed me what I should have done in that situation. Like, that's the dream right there. Mm. So part of the whole strategy layer, and this is a really big theme for us for multiple years now, and you'll see this big in our new play call this year, is that people are learning as you're playing. You're learning what works and why. You're learning what plays to go to and what situations and why. You're learning how to make reads. It's very important to us that the more you play Madden, the more knowledgeable you become about the sport of football. So that's the last piece of that conversation.
So you mentioned something else, too, that I find fascinating. It was celebrated a couple of years ago, the end of suction tackling, you know, the, yep, going full physics. And then you mentioned that I don't know if you said specifically that it's back, but certainly there's some aspect of that that is returning either in reality or in spirit. And I can just hear people saying, wait a second, suction tackling is back. Walk people off the ledge when they hear that quote. Why is it actually a good thing that that this is back in the way that you're describing?
Well, if you think about football and the way people make tackles, you don't just kind of run into somebody. You reach, you lunge, you lean forward at the point of the tackle. And that's a piece that was missing. Like it felt wrong to me in the game. Mm. Now the whole concept of suctioning is really a visual aesthetic piece. It has nothing to do with we match a lot of things from a distance in the game. The question is like, how much did the player's momentum get pulled in the opposite direction, or how much did I see them what we call warp or slide? So I knew when we took this on. When we said, like, hey, you can match tackles from a distance now, and to be clear, it's only user-controlled players that function this way, and then the user-controlled tackle mechanics. So it's not like you're going to see AIs matching tackles from 3 or 4 yards away. It's just user-controlled players. But what we do is it's all about your facing. So if your facing is off by too much or too many degrees, you're not going to get suctioned into the tackle. We're not going to force you into it. And what we've been doing is actually... Anytime QA finds one of these tackles where they even think it's like slightly questionable in terms of like, hey, his momentum went too far, or he felt a little slidey when he did this, we go in and we rework the animation, or we rework what we call the tackle wedge, so that, you know, we reduce or eliminate any and all feelings of suction. And generally, it was a problem early. When we first turned it on and people were like, oh, great, suction tackling is back. But as we started to zero this stuff out, those complaints have kind of gone away. The only time you'll complain about suction is if you feel like your player was unnaturally pulled into an interaction. So as long as all those interactions feel natural and they flow like seamlessly into each other, you don't get that feeling of suction. And I think we've achieved that this year.
And speaking of facing the right direction or being in the right spot, defense, from what I understand, is at a new perspective. You got a different camera angle on defense this year. Do I have that right? And describe that a little bit for me.
Yeah, you do, actually. We have multiple new cameras. It starts on offense, where you can actually have, I think there's 5 different levels of zoom, and that is all done at the line in pre-play. So you don't have to go to the pause menu anymore, go to your settings menu, go to display options, camera options, change it, then back all the way out. You just basically hit D-pad up and down, and you can zoom in and out right at the line of scrimmage. It's really cool because last year on Gen 4, a lot of complaints were like, hey, the game doesn't look Gen 4, or it just looks like the Gen 3 game. When you go into game this year on Madden 15 and you zoom in and play with the zoom cam all the way in, you will be blown away at how good this game looks, because that's showing our models at the highest level of detail. It's showing our textures at the highest level of detail. It screams like next-gen Madden. So those are the offensive views. But the big change was the defensive camera. So for those of you who played NCAA and know the player lock feature, that's one of the components. So by clicking L3, you can lock into your defensive player and basically be him for the duration of the play. The big change this year was what we call the defensive camera, which allows you, basically what happens when you're on defense, you select your player and D-pad all the way up, and the final zoom in actually flips the perspective around, so you're playing from the defensive side of the ball. It's a big change, and it feels completely different to play the game from that direction. But the big thing we wanted to get in was, this is kind of a limitation with player lock and NCAA, was the ability to switch players. People like the idea of playing from the defensive perspective, but they didn't like being locked into one player. So the defensive camera, this new feature we built this year, actually allows you to play from the defensive perspective and switch. And it sounds kind of scary when I explain it, but I'll give you an example. You're rushing the passer from the defensive side of the ball. It's very immersive. We also have unique angles depending on what position you're playing. So basically, if I'm a defensive lineman or defensive tackle, the camera's going to be like right out over my shoulder. But if I'm a corner, the camera's going to be angled in so I can see the quarterback and see the ball. I'll also see my player. So you get dynamic camera angles depending on your position. Now what happens is, like, so I'm a defensive tackle and I rush the passer. I'm going in for the pass rush and the quarterback throws the ball. So what happens is as soon as I hit B to switch to my secondary, the camera's going to pull back, keep the ball in view so I can actually see who I'm switching to. And believe it or not, it pulls back fast enough that you can actually get control and still make a play on the ball in time. And that works for tackling and making plays, like ball hawk plays. And it's surprisingly effective. The coolest thing about that whole camera view is how immersive it is. And it just feels like playing a whole different game when you play from the defensive side of the ball. It's a big win feature for us, and a lot of people internally are playing defense almost exclusively from that defensive camera. So we think it's a big win for us this year.
That has to, when you first start doing it, I would imagine really mess with you. Because, you know, if you're like me and you've been playing Madden for really forever, ever since it was a thing, that I just have to imagine, like, all of a sudden, left is right, up is down. How much adjustment does it take to sort of get used to that?
The controls part of it, almost nothing. The real adjustment is how it changes, like, your play style. Because when you're less likely to be, like, flipping around between players. So what I've learned from playing that perspective is it's very important to do your job. And it was true in NCAA, too. When you play with the player lock camera, you had to know what your player's assignment was. Otherwise, you were the guy who was going to give up the big play. So that's the biggest change for me from gameplay is just knowing the assignment of the player that you've chosen. The thing that everybody thought wasn't going to work is switching. They thought, like, there's no way you can get switching fast enough that the player can actually still make a play on the ball, but you'd be amazed at how effective it actually works. You have to be pretty quick on the buttons. It's like B and then hold Y immediately, or B and tap X immediately, because usually that defender you switch to is already in position to make a play on the ball. But it's super effective, and a lot of people like playing that way, and the learning curve isn't as much as you might think.
So one of the issues that I personally had in the last version of Madden, and we play on All Pro, and I mentioned I'm not good, but I think it's not just me, it's a bunch of guys, is that there still seems to be a lot of interceptions. Like, if you make anything but the best possible decision, it seems like the ball gets picked off a lot. And when I hear about a lot more focus on defense and better coverages and things like that, I immediately get worried that, whoa, if I was throwing a lot of picks in Madden 25, I'm going to be an interception machine in Madden 15. So I guess that's one question, and I want to also sort of segue that into a greater question, which is, with all of this focus on defense, what have you put in place on offense to, you know, try to mitigate that? Because the NFL remains a pretty powerful offensive show these days.
Yep. So wait, what was the question before the offense part?
Sorry about that. Okay. Yeah.
So we've done a lot of tuning, and really, what I challenge the coverage guys is, obviously going in, when you say you're going to overhaul coverage AI, and we already know we have an interceptions problem, that is part of the equation. And what I said to the guys was, invariably, if the guy, we can get our defenders in position to play more swats, that's going to be a good thing. And that's kind of what we've done. So in a lot of situations, especially if the guy's coming from over the top, in real life, there, an NFL safety or a corner's willingness to jump in front of the route and potentially risk giving up a touchdown is sort of measured by their ability to, like, hey, I need to play the man here and make sure that this guy doesn't get past me. So we sort of allowed our defenders to play more swats in situations where they might have tried to undercut the pass and pick it off before, and that's given us some of the balance. The other thing we looked at is, you know, we get as many complaints as wide open interception drops as we do too many interceptions. So there's really, it's one of those things where you can't really please everybody. It really just comes down to making good reads as a quarterback and knowing how to make reads. And so we have a target, and this is kind of how it works. We set a target, a tuning target, for a number of interceptions we want or expect users to throw in a given game. And then when, you know, people are playing the game and we're seeing interception numbers, we're kind of tuning the game to kind of hit that sweet spot about where we would expect it to be. And that's based on real NFL numbers. So that's what we're kind of tuning towards. My advice to you, if you're throwing a lot of interceptions, is to go into Skills Trainer and play the coverage recognition drills and the passing concept drills. You would be amazed at how much it changes when you start learning where holes and zones are and where the effective making the correct read on certain passing concepts. Like, I don't know if you know how to run like the dig concept or the dagger concept or the levels concept, but when you start learning these things and you start like becoming comfortable with it, you'll start calling them in game and find that they're working for you. And now you have plays that you can go to in certain situations. So that's really my answer to you is, you know, the go-to answer is make better reads, but the real answer is start learning, like learning how these passing concepts work in real life, learning where their holes are in zones in certain light in real life and what patterns will hit those holes. And you can get all of that in Skills Trainer. We really blew out Skills Trainer this year. There's over 50-something drills this year, and all that stuff is covered extensively.
Good to know, and I definitely need it. So, yeah, let's get into the offense a little bit. We spent a lot of time on defense. Clearly, defense is a focus. What tools have you added, or what modifications have been made? What tunings have you made? What's happening on the offensive side of the ball to counter all of this defensive prowess?
So the biggest thing in offense this year is around passing. There's a ton of stuff that we did. I'm not going to go into all of it in detail, but the biggest piece, and I don't want your users to take this the wrong way, because sometimes when we talk about this feature, it gets misperceived, but it's basically pass accuracy. So for the hardcore community guys, there's this thing that they call robo quarterback, which is kind of like, you know, in the past, Madden's had basically two types of passes. It's had perfectly accurate and wildly inaccurate. In other words, you were going to either hit the guy in the numbers,
right,
or it was going to go out of bounds.
Right.
Right. That was a big deal for us. And as we started to look at the game and like placement and pass leading, one of the top issues from community is, you know, well, I'll give you two of them. One is we need to see more separation in quarterbacks. Like, I don't expect Tom Brady to feel, look, or play like Geno Smith. The other thing we get a lot, especially from the online guys, is it sucks that everybody just subs in the fastest quarterback possible, rolls out the pocket every single play, and just throws over the top. That basically, you know, accuracy doesn't even matter in the game because it's all about speed. So we took these things to heart. And we said, like, if you watch the NFL, you know that accuracy is a very big deal. And it's probably the biggest differentiator of quarterbacks. So this year we've built an entire, like, very robust accuracy system so that quarterbacks can actually miss passes, what we call slightly inaccurate. And slightly inaccurate can miss in, like, something like 15 different directions, like behind you high, behind you low, behind you medium, you know, too short, too high, et cetera, out in front. And what that did, it not only made watching a game with Peyton Manning or Tom Brady look completely different than it has before, but the biggest thing is what it did to the catch system. As you may or may not know, our catch system basically matches catches based on the placement of the ball. So now that the ball's being placed in, you know, not on the numbers every play, I'd say you're seeing 200 to 300 new catch animations that you've never seen play before in the game are now playing all over the place. The other piece we've added in our player sense feature, we had this problem in the past that we really hated, which is, you know, sometimes the receiver just wouldn't play anything. Like, the ball would be high or whatever, and or it might even bounce off his helmet, and the guy just wouldn't play anything. So this year we've added a feature called efforts, where even if the ball is underthrown or thrown off target, the receiver will still make an effort like he's trying to go for the ball, or he'll lay out, or he'll, like, you know, jump backwards to try and catch the ball. And it makes a big deal. I mean, aesthetically, it really opens up the passing and catching game. So that's probably the biggest offensive feature, game changer this year. There's also the big thing on offense that we did this year was mainly directed for our hardcore online guys. It generally revolves around the way, you know, pre-play adjustments work. So previously, if you played Madden online, you know, sometimes people will dial in like 30, 40 pre-play adjustments before they snap the ball.
Oh, gosh,
the defense is at a severe disadvantage. It kind of like it's almost taken over the game online.
Mm-hmm.
The thing we didn't like about it, and we actually Cam Newton came in for a few days, and he worked with us, and we talked extensively about audibles and signals and how the quarterback gets signals out. And you know what we all came to the conclusion was, and this came from our online tournament guys too, is the way that the offense can dial in that many hot routes, that many adjustments that quickly, and put the defense at a disadvantage is unfair and unrealistic, and it's damaging online play. So we've actually put in a bunch of different features this year around kind of making that more authentic, that your quarterback actually has to complete his audible animation before you can dial in the next play. So we actually have a little bit of a delay in there now to control the amount of pre-play adjustments the offense can make and give the defense a chance to react.
Interesting.
And, I could go on forever, but a lot of the stuff on offense has to do with just a lot of legacy behaviors that was damaging online play that we've since, fixed.
Interesting. And, of course, blocking, particularly run blocking, but even pass blocking last year was improved. I think just like with anything, there was probably a lot that you thought could continue to be improved. So has there continued to be a focus on blocking on the offensive line?
Yep, there's a full another year of blocking. And I'll make this point here. It's kind of funny because Clint really wanted to go after he had his whole gigantic theme around play-action blocking that he wanted to get in this year, and he was really excited about it. It was going to take most of our blocking engineers the entire cycle to work on it. But we actually decided to hold off and spend a whole year polishing what we've put in the last 2 years. If you remember in years past, we'd build a feature, you know, something like end-man tackling. And then 2 years later, it's gone. As long as it's not the lead feature, we're done working on it. So that's changed. And this is a great example of it. Like we blocking was a big feature last year. We talked about it. We marketed it, made a big deal about it, put Clint on camera all over the place. And this year, we're not talking about it a whole lot, but it's gotten a whole other year of work of just polishing, fixing bugs, improving lead blocker behavior, improving puller's behavior, done a whole bunch of open field targeting fixes. And kind of what I'm trying to get across here is this, the whole like one and done model is over. We don't do that anymore. Like we build a feature and then we keep investing in it year over year over year until we're happy with it. Physics is another example. We went as big on physics this year as we did 3 years ago because we're just not done with it. And just because we're not making a big marketing story out of blocking this year doesn't mean that we haven't had four or five guys spending the full cycle making sure that it's great.
Well, as somebody who, I've said this a bunch of times, like going into the release of the PlayStation 4 version of Madden and the Xbox One, I actually wasn't expecting that much because visually the game did not look that different, especially when I saw it a couple weeks before it released. But the more that I played it, the more that I realized, at least to me and for how I play Madden, which is in our online franchise, which, you know, about half the games are against people and half the games are against the CPU, there was just a whole lot. It was a slow burn. Right. And I think it was a slow burn because the blocking was just better. It was a slow burn because I think the defense was better. And again, as I mentioned, there's things that a lot of things that I thought could improve, but it just felt like a more solid game. And as somebody who plays the game every year because of my friends and the people that I know, it's good to hear that because we've long lamented the sort of focusing on the back of the box. What's the new feature? Hearing you say that you've made a commitment to making sort of the underlying fundamentals better makes you feel good. And obviously we hope to see the results of that when Madden 15 hits. Got a couple more minutes.
Well, one of the reasons, Rich, that you know, Madden was a slow burn that last year is kind of like you can go one of two ways with your lead, you know, your launch SKU on Gen 4 consoles. You either go for the flash and you go for the visual pop and you try to make it sort of sell the fact that you just spent all this money and you want to be blown away by next-gen visuals, or you do what we did, which is focus on making sure that your foundation is solid. And it's kind of like, you know, if you have money to spend on improving your house and you have cracks in your basement, but you really want to put in a hot tub, you know the right thing to do is to fix those cracks in the basement. Your foundation has problems, right? The wrong thing to do is to build that super sexy hot tub, but it sure is tempting. And kind of last year, it was really important to us that we not lose any features or modes, that we get a full feature transition into Gen 4. But more importantly was that we were building a foundation, our locomotion system and our blocking. And maybe some of those things aren't as sexy as people wanted them to be. But what you should take away from it is we're setting ourselves up for a long-term vision here, a long-term quality push, not going for the flash-in-the-pan one-year thing. The benefit of that is that this year, because we had built that solid foundation, this year we were able to focus, and like you said before about like visually, Madden last year didn't reach out and grab people. I will tell you that this year, Madden will reach out from its TV screen and grab you by the neck and shake you with how freaking good it looks. Like, the graphics have jumped so significantly from last year, from lighting to player models to player likeness to stadiums, everything. And it just shows you what happens when you lay that foundation. You can build on top of it and do great things. But if we hadn't built that foundation last year, we wouldn't have the game that we have this year. And I know you have to take my word for it for now, but you'll see soon enough when E3 videos come out.
Good to know. Well, this is launching right around E3, so it's perfect timing for that. All right. Rex Dixon, any sort of last little quick things you wanted to get in that we didn't have a chance to talk about? I know we're at the end of our time together, but you know, anything you wanted to throw in there just to make sure that people know about?
The last piece, probably just from an overall perspective about just how much things have changed here internally. I mean, we've only talked about a few features here. I could go on and on about 50 or so new gameplay features, not even to mention the stuff that Brian's going to cover in presentation. But the one thing I want I know a lot of your audience comes from the OS forums and stuff like that. And what I want to make clear to everybody is that when NCAA went away last year, Madden took the best of the best people from NCAA, folded them into Madden. We sort of, you know, we had some people leave the group. And what we have now is what I feel is one of the strongest dev teams that I've been associated with in my 17-year career in the industry. The best of the best from NCAA are now with Madden. You know, Brian Murray from NFL Films is now working in presentation with Mike Young. Gene Adams is exclusively focused on graphics. And what you have now is a much more effectively structured team, effectively organized team. 4 years ago, Madden didn't have a gameplay creative director. So this just gives you an idea of how Cam is sort of rebuilding the team, and it's taken 3 years to get there, but now we're there. And this team is stronger than ever. And I'm cautiously predicting that Madden will be in that high 80s, low 90s range within the next couple years.
Well, good to know. Again, as a guy who plays it regularly and who talks about it all year long, it seems like, you know, who just wants to have a great football game, that's exciting to hear. So Rex Dixon, the gameplay creative director for Madden 15. On the PlayStation 4, the Xbox One, and the franchise. Thank you so much for taking the time. Have a great E3, and we appreciate your time, and we will talk to you again real soon.
Thank you, Rich.
All right, it is E3 week continuing, and that means it is time for some more Madden talk. We've heard Rex Dixon talk about the gameplay for the upcoming Madden NFL 15, and now we have Brian Murray, the director of presentation, here to talk about, yes, presentation for Madden NFL 15. Always a hot-button topic, always something people are acutely interested in. So, Brian Murray, welcome to the Press Row Podcast.
Hey, thanks very much. Happy to be here.
So this is your first time on the show, so we're going to have to put you through the hazing process. Actually,
okay, hit it.
No hazing, but I am always interested, in hearing your story, how you got to be the director of presentation. What's your path through video games, and how did you arrive as the director of presentation for the Madden team?
Well, yeah, no, my path is an interesting one. I was with NFL Films for the last 8 years. I was one of the directors of photography there. I did shows like Hard Knocks on HBO. I did 30 for 30, specifically the one from Elway to Marino. You know, very football-centric career, really based on visuals, based on camera work, obviously being a director of photography, you know, broadcast, commercials, just really like high-end cinematography as well. A couple of years back, 3 years ago for Madden 12, Mike Young, the creative director of the game, came to me and said, you know, hey, we have a new tech and we want to work with some virtual cameras. And this is when I was with NFL Films. And they hired me to go to Vancouver and work with them and kind of started a really good creative relationship. And we did that every year since then. And after I finished Hard Knocks with the Cincinnati Bengals this past summer, I got the offer to come down. And basically it was just, hey, we'd love to, you know, use your background and have you help us. We seem like we have the talent, but we need the guidance. And so I don't know if I could have ever taken no, they would have taken no for an answer on that one. And so I came down to Florida and that began my first cycle, in a video game.
Interesting. Now, Mount Holly is, NFL Films is on, I believe either Mount Laurel, right? Which is like 15 minutes down the road from me. So,
yeah.
So you transplanted yourself from, I presume, somewhere in Jersey down to Orlando. That's quite a difference in location.
Yeah, it is. I was living, so 6 years I was in Mount Laurel area, right around the corner from you guys. And then the last two, I was in Manhattan. So yeah, it was definitely a different change of pace there. But creatively, I feel like I went from one really, really high-end team to another really, really high-end team.
What are some of the biggest differences from working at NFL Films to working on the Madden franchise?
Wow. You know, it's interesting. There's so much history in this building, and then there's so much history in my last building at NFL Films. You know, for me, we do so much camera work, so much lens work, so much lighting. I think the addition would be graphics, you know, making sure that the graphics and fidelity of the game holds up to really as close to reality as we can get it. But like the big difference would be, you know, my former mentors. You know, I had my upbringing at NFL Films. So, you know, me being a director now on Madden, it's more like I'm beginning to mentor, you know, people here in the ways that Steve Sable and one of my mentors, Hank McElway, taught me.
So you're new and you don't have a background in making video games. So how, when you walk in the door, how do you sort of approach coming up with what you want to accomplish?
Well, first of all, I speak to what I can speak about. I think that was one of the best approaches I could take here, right? I can't talk about the CPU. I can't talk about, you know, certain specific engineering type points. So I don't even try to approach it. You know, as many questions as I have, I ask. So the approach that I really take is, let's look at this as, you know, I don't know what the percentage is. I'm sure it's a crazy high percentage of fans that watch a game on Sunday on television and they don't watch it in a stadium. So what we're really looking at is, how do we make a game that is entertaining, has variety, and also mimics what they see on Sunday? Because that's really what people want to do. They want to be in that game on Sunday as they see it on Sundays. So really, it's a broadcast experience, and we have the ability to kind of have what we call like a hyper broadcast experience, where we can, you know, we can put cameras where they normally wouldn't be, but you also don't want to take the fan away from their, you know, kind of deja vu experience of playing the game.
Now, what is your background with Madden? I mean, are you a longtime hardcore player? Are you more of a casual guy? Did you not play Madden? Like, where were you with Madden before you decided to join the team?
Absolutely played the game. My whole life, you know, we started with like kind of everyone in my age group, but started with Techno Super Bowl and, you know, kind of, you know, went up through the ranks, got the PS, got the PS2, you know, played through college, same kind of deal, right? Bunch of guys. I went to Michigan State, go green. And, you know, we played just everybody, you know, Saturdays, Sundays, played at night, did the tournaments. And then I took a little bit hiatus from there when I, you know, started to, you know, work with NFL Films. And then really right around 11 and 12, when I met Mike and worked with EA Moore, I really got into it because obviously I was contributing to it. So I'm a fan.
So what are, I mean, I would presume that you come into the game having a philosophy and a vision for what you want the presentation to be. So what is that? And what are sort of the, you know, the high level things that when you approached it starting off, that did you want to make sure you tackled?
Well, you know, the high level thing, first of all, is playing 25 and playing a lot of it and knowing kind of what the fans wanted and knowing what internally what we wanted to change. Just really like looking at it as a whole and what was working, what wasn't working. A lot of it was really flow based. So not talking about the high level vision just yet, but a lot of it was flow based, making sure that things made sense and they were in context. And that can be anything. I mean, that can be from commentary to camera movement, that can be to really the way you're telling the story. We have a word here we use a lot called time warps. I think single-handedly, something like a time warp takes you out of your gaming experience and really the story of the game. So it's like one of those things where someone scores a touchdown, right? Lynch scores a touchdown. And if we don't cut to him, we cut mundanely to some coach who's awkwardly celebrating, and then we make our next cut to, kicker, you know, lining up the ball to kick off. I mean, that's so jarring for a time frame that it doesn't feel real. So really I wanted to take an approach of flows. Really want to take an approach of every flow of the game feels as though it's actually organically happening. And the way we're cutting to cameras and reactions and things like that, but actually having everything dynamically be happening on the field, like post play, you know? So that's really just making the game flow and not be jarring to the fans.
I guess we should start with the visuals. I'm a fan of Madden 25 on the PS4 and the Xbox One, as I've spoken, here on the show many times. And for everything that I like about the game, there's also, I think, areas for improvement in every aspect. And one of the things that I think struck me the most when I first saw it was that, this doesn't look much different, if at all, other than a few things, than the, you know, the PS3 360 versions. And as I've talked about here on the show, you know, it was a slow burn because I think some of the underlying gameplay in the next gen versions was so much better. So from a visual perspective, as Rex Dixon said a few minutes ago, the visuals really pop. Is that one of the things that you think people are going to, obviously, if the visuals do pop, notice right away? And how much of a focus has there been on improving the visuals, the graphics, you know, the player models on the screen?
Yeah, can I jokingly just say, well, problem solved?
I like to hear that.
Yeah, an incredible focus was obviously placed on that. You know, I think last year going into Gen 4, not knowing what Gen 4 is going to be, right? I think that's kind of a big point to be made. If you look at our delta from last year's game to this year's current state, graphically and our fabrics and lighting and our helmets and likeness. I think it looks absolutely unbelievable. You know, what's really funny, I'm an NFL film cinematographer. Okay. I mean, like, that's what my religion is. And so there's a couple times where we're doing cameras and just making the game where I'll take a step back. And one of my designers would say, you know, did you do it again? And I'm like, yeah, I had deja vu where, like, literally, it looks so real in certain aspects that it really feels like I have already been there because I've shot hundreds of football games. And it really, in some of these instances, is pretty crazy. What the really cool detail this year, just specifically that I saw that really blew me away, is when we did Seattle's helmets. You know, they have that great kind of mix between the matte and shine on their helmets, and we have that. And it just looks so cool. And it looks so cool from close up. you know, we're the one cool thing is it's this year, it's so much less about point that camera that way because it looks good. Now it's like, well, hey, can we get these cameras closer to as much as possible? You know, our coaches, the coaches look so great. I was just playing a game. And I mean, I'm a Detroit fan, so I was pretty excited to see some good looking likeness there. And so I don't know, coaches, our quarterbacks look really, really good. You know, Cam Newton looks phenomenal. So we obviously that and body types, really, if you look at, you know, we actually have real looking body types this year where if it's a lineman, you see that is a lineman body type. You know, if you see a corner, you see that. Plus you see the pads protruding now, which is really great. I mean, you see actual shoulder pads underneath the jerseys and in all of that detail and the stitching, and you can see these fabric stitching so close too. So it was definitely a major emphasis, and I really think that we delivered here.
Now, one of the things that the Madden NFL Twitter account will do on a regular basis is tweet about, oh, here's this player, this team is in town getting facial scans. So how much of that has gone into the visuals as well this year?
You mean specifically for scanning?
Yes.
So we're trying to scan every team in the NFL. It's probably going to be a 15 and 16 initiative.
Mm-hmm.
To really, really make the rounds on the teams. Offhand, I don't know the exact number of teams that we've hit, but we are trying to get every team by end of summer. Now, meaning that doesn't mean every team is going in for 15. It does not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I believe the number right now is we have 85 unique and A-quality heads in the game as of today.
Nice.
And then we're planning on adding more, you know, before delivery. It's definitely a huge initiative that we're focusing on this year. And, you know, with a short cycle being, you know, coming up Gen 4 and into 15, you know, we really focused on as many heads as we could, and that's what we could do for 15. And they look phenomenal.
What about the crowd? I mean, there was definitely a better looking crowd in the next gen console launches, better looking sidelines. Any improvements or sort of, you know, more of a pop or a next gen experience we'll get when we look around the stadium and on the sidelines as well?
So yes, so we're getting more of a crowd for first of all. So crowd reactions is definitely better. It's definitely better. You know, if you're in the red zone, you know, going towards the end zone there, and you start to see the crowd erupt as you're entering the end zone, you know, as opposed to, you know, I enter end zone, now crowd reacts, you know. definitely, there's more of a timely way that we're trying to tell that story this year. And then as far as sidelines go, obviously there's an audio component also with the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really important to us too. So you're going to hear that, you know, it's like those things where audio matches visual. We're very mm-hmm. excited about that.
Cool.
But then also with the sidelines, you know, first and foremost, when we started looking at the sidelines, just based on my background, we rearranged it, you know, even like the photogs on the sidelines, we put them in the real places they would be when, you know, the ball's in a certain position. So, that's a really important thing. Obviously not as far as we probably would want to go for, really reactions and stuff on the sidelines. But, you know, like I said, it's also one of those things we're going to, you know, we're looking forward to for 16. But, we up-resed a lot of the guys on sidelines for their faces and reactions and things like that, you know, like in the bench area.
Got to ask the question.
Sure.
When the game is over and the coaches shake hands at the middle of the field, will the coaches still be wearing their headsets or will they have taken them off this time?
They are going to be off.
Oh, I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
Well, you know, we'll be sending you a video shortly. You can look for yourself.
I'm just kidding. I mean, that had to drive you guys crazy, right? I mean, you obviously knew that was happening. I mean, that just had to be one of those little things. You're like, oh, we're going to hear about this, right? Or the coach, after winning the Super Bowl, he's standing, you know, with holding the trophy in the air wearing his headset, the poor guy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's off now, and, you know, we didn't even need to hear that from the outside community. We heard that inside.
Yeah, I'm sure. Good stuff. Something that has, depending upon who you talk to, has either been incredibly important or not important at all, the halftime show. What do you have going on at halftime this year?
Well, you said it. We actually have a halftime show. You know, if you play last year, it's like three replays and then we're back to gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is, so it's going to be voiced by Larry Ridley, who's phenomenal local talent down here. And some of our audio guys have said that he stitches better than anyone. He sounds phenomenal. He has so much energy. We recorded a lot with him to make sure that halftime was just killer. Right. It's actually topical, contextual. It's got stats banners that backs it up from the first half. We actually know what's happening on something like a 21-yard run as opposed to a 22-yard run.
Hmm.
It's really cool. It's going to be great. It's a full-on halftime show. It's not long. And I think a really positive critique that we had the other day was someone was playing it, and they said, you know what? I'm so used to just buttoning through when any of this halftime stuff happens. Can you help me so I don't accidentally button through, because I actually want to watch this?
Hmm. Interesting.
So that we are pretty excited about that. But no, it's very topical. It shows both teams. It shows everything. It shows great highlights. And, you know, it's a great wrap-up of that first half. And we're really excited about that feature.
So, you know, one of the things that's interesting, too, I mean, everybody plays Madden in different ways. The way that I play it is in, you know, our online CFM. So will the, you know, will the halftime show, will the pregame intro, will the context sort of take into consideration that, whether I'm in an Ultimate Team game or in a CFM game or a, you know, just a random exhibition game, is that sort of baked into how the presentation is presented, to use the word two times out of three words?
You know, it's definitely in head to head for us. It's you know, it's definitely obviously in just single player play now. But as far as you know, for online and CFM, I don't know that exact answer, so I don't want to speak for it.
Okay, no problem. All right, so cameras, you're an NFL films guy. Cameras are a big deal. Talk about the impact of the different camera angles, what they mean both when you're playing the game and when you're, you know, sort of between plays and experiencing what's happening, you know, between the whistles.
Yeah, no, and it was kind of like we talked about earlier about time warps. You know, we want the game to flow and not feel like you're just you're jump cutting all over the place. So our post play is pretty exciting this year, and our cameras play a really big role in it. You know, we're the big thing as far as, like, you asked me earlier about my vision. My big thing was I wanted to stay on the field as often as possible, not go away, not go up in the stands, not fade to black and come back. So we're really staying on the field this year. And so you're going to see a lot of that from not just the replay package, but that ball goes down. And again, I'll use Lynch as the example, right? You know, and, you know, just 10-yard gain, great first down. You actually see him celebrate the first down. We cut away to the quarterback. You know, we're cutting all over the place. You're seeing two-man get-ups this year. You know, even in the same thing for the other way, you know, you're seeing a big sack and you're seeing us cut to that Mike linebacker. And then you're seeing reactions from sidelines, like coach reaction, and then you're seeing quarterback get up. And it's pretty cool. You know, we're staying on the field and we're not just cutting to pre-canned vignettes. We're actually cutting to the reactions that are happening on the field with cameras that we've iterated on for the last 9 months that actually feel like real cameras. You know, you play some previous games and you'll see cameras that feel like they're attached to players. You know what I'm talking about? It's like camera pans with person who moves, you know, it's that same kind of feeling. This year we really built a great tech around having that camera react like I was on the sidelines physically filming it.
Now, what were you able to bring from NFL films that you think will be impactful here? Is it just sort of, like you said, you were living it, that was your life, you understood shooting from this angle has this kind of impact, shooting from the, you know, from the ground, from the sidelines, delivers a different impact than if you're looking at it from way up high in the air? Like, what are some of those aspects that you think has really helped drive the, you know, the different sort of angles in the presentation layers you're talking about?
Yeah, no, I mean, I wouldn't underestimate actually probably anything you just said. I think it was a lot like that. It was a lot of, well, it's twofold, right? I would kind of, NFL films is uniquely qualified because they live in both the broadcast world and the cinematic world, which is, I think, exactly what a game like Madden needs. We want to be telling the stories in a beautiful way, but also be adhering to a broadcast, you know, kind of, you know, rules and packages. So I was uniquely qualified in that world to do that because I was trained by one of the best storytellers of all time, Steve Sable. But, you know, one of the biggest things there is I think our talent, our tech, everyone here was kind of just ready, I think, to be guided when it came to the presentation point here. So it's really funny. Like I'll sit with some of these animators and we're talking about some amazingly talented people. And I'll sit with them and we'll just talk about, hey, this is how this camera reacts. And in some ways it took me just bringing a camera in, sitting with someone who makes cameras and go, look, this is the way I operate a camera. This is the way that we would do A, B, and C. And, you know, it seems very minute and small, but you wouldn't believe the reactions I had from the animators. They just said, oh my gosh, you know, thank you so much. This is, you know, I've learned more. Actually, one thing I heard from one of the animators is I've learned more in 30 seconds of me putting this camera on my shoulder than I have in the last two cycles of making cameras. And it's just, it's that where practical, you know, meets games.
And what, you know, where does this go from here? I mean, you know, it's interesting because you say that everybody wants the television presentation. Do you envision yourself getting to a point where you're actually going beyond the television presentation and actually offering sort of angles and insight and experience that is better or even more nuanced or more immersive than what you get from watching TV to where you're more actually part of the game as opposed to observing the game?
I mean, absolutely. And everything you just said, really. You know, I think this year was a matter of getting the game, you know, up to the broadcast level, right? And really trying to get, you know, best in gaming for as much as we could for sports, for graphics and, in our presentation packages and gameplay. But this, for the next years to come, it's exactly what you're saying. It's trying to, like, we mimic broadcast. I would love to get to a point where broadcast mimics us. You know, and that comes from the fact that we don't have the same rules that we have to adhere to. And so, yeah, I would love to do some more stuff with like POV, and I'd love to have way more immersion in the bench areas and hear that coach talking to you as a player and, you know, really work towards telling more stories within the game and start to tell narratives. I mean, you couldn't have said it better, actually. We're really working towards, that next experience, like we say, that hyper broadcast feel.
Yeah, because you mentioned the late, great Steve Sable, who really invented an entirely new way to experience football. I mean, I remember the first time that I saw some of the NFL films, you know, with the slow motion movement and the music and or even sometimes the real-time action where the players are hitting each other and you hear and you feel almost the violence and the force of the hitting that you don't get when you watch it from television. I would imagine, you know, as you mentioned, he was, you know, one of the people that you learned from, that's also what you're trying to bring to the Madden experience.
I mean, absolutely. Everyone in NFL films, just it's the same, you know, everyone tries to live through Steve still, you know, in honor of him. You know, there's something I say in my team that Steve said all the time to us, which is flap. He always said, finish like a pro. And that kind of meant everything in everything that you do, whether you're packing up at the end of the day, you know, finish like a pro, that stuff away correctly. But also when you're in the thick of it, like we are, you know, finishing in the game, we're going to finish like a pro. It just means working as hard as possible. And coming from that kind of upbringing there was amazing. And he's the original storyteller of sports. I mean, it's, you know, it's amazing. You see his influence across many different mediums. And so, taking that approach here where try to take this medium and push it forward and try to, you know, do groundbreaking things. That's what I think we all want to do.
You know, and it's interesting, too, and we've sort of gotten a little bit off on a tangent, but, I mean, just even what I was reading in Sports Illustrated this week where there's an article where they take two different plays that occurred, two balls hit up the middle, and how they analyzed why one turned into a double play and one turned into a base hit. And over the course of the next couple of years, people are expecting like television broadcast to integrate some of the analytics, you know, both in real time and in replays as to why this happened and why that happened. It seems to me this convergence of technology with live sports continues to be really moving at a much more rapid pace, where when I'm watching a sporting event in 3 or 4 or 5 years, it's not going to look very much at all like a game that I'm watching today. I mean, if you look at an NFL broadcast now versus one from 10 years ago, it's not that different, right? I mean, I think 10 years ago you still had the first down line. You know, now they sort of have a couple of additional lines, but 20, 30 years ago, yeah, it was different. But do you get that same sense? And are you already sort of trying to understand what impact that's going to have on the presentation of Madden moving forward?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a little bit of a testament to the NFL that, you know, you don't see a huge difference there, right? I mean, as technology's changing, yeah, I mean, we can definitely look towards the future. And we've had many talks about stuff like that and where actually, you know, where broadcast will be going in the years to come and where we would be going in the years to come also. But no, you're totally right. I mean, especially with like camera technologies and everyone with their iPads and smartphones, I think broadcast will totally change. I really do. I don't know what the future of broadcast is. I'm not a mind reader, but I just really think that at some point you're probably going to control your own, you know, your own way to be viewing that game, however that would happen.
Yeah. All right, so getting back to Madden NFL 2015, back to Madden NFL 15. Let's talk about the commentary. A couple, 2 or 3 years ago, Jim Nance and Phil Simms were introduced. It has been fairly well received, I would say, but also like really any types of parts of a very large video game, areas for improvement. What are we going to see new from Mr. Nance and Mr. Simms, assuming they are still the commentary team this season coming up?
They are still the commentary team. You're going to see a better balance between the two of them. We recorded with them together more this year, so you're definitely going to see more of the back and forth, which is really important. And I think when people don't record together, you can really hear that. So we definitely have a lot of stories where they're passing back and forth, and you can tell that is banter between the two. And so you're seeing that. I think a really important thing to be said is you're also a part of that flow structure that you and I have discussed already, is that if you're hearing like Phil talk about, you know, any topic, and you don't see a shot that backs that up or any kind of graphic that comes up when he's talking about it, you're definitely going to want to say, wow, that commentary is really throwing me off. But if you hear that same comment and you see a shot of the player he's talking about with a graphic that has a stat banner that says what that guy did last week, I think it definitely backs up commentary, and I think your problem kind of goes away. So a big point of presentation this year was to really meld all of those points from commentary to our UI and graphic interface to the shots that we're physically selecting when they're talking about it. So I think that's a really important fact for us. And you're going to see that right off the bat with our dynamic pregame that we have this year.
So when you talk about these improvements, right, it's been a very short cycle, a shorter cycle than normal, because you shipped Madden NFL 25 on the next-gen consoles in, I guess, November of last year. What challenges does that pose? Because it sounds like you made some significant leaps. Obviously, visually, you know, you're saying it looks significantly better, which takes a significant amount of art, assets, and just heavy lifting to do that. You've got additional commentary. You've got, you know, significantly different cameras. You got new halftime shows. You got new pregame shows. I presume new sort of postgame summaries as well. That sounds like a whole lot happening in a relatively short amount of time. I mean, were you cooking this stuff up prior to this as well, and just sort of some of these things couldn't quite make it into Madden 25? Like, how does this work, and how do you sort of get to layer in what goes and what's in and what's out over the course of a development cycle?
Well, yeah, it's a couple of questions in there. You should see everyone here. We all have bags under our eyes because we've been working for a long time on this. As far as the feature sets and all of our goals and everything, that was done with normal pre-production. There was nothing that was kind of like laying out after 25. No, we did normal pre-pro and said, this is what we want. And obviously with me, you know, getting up to speed, it was kind of like, not knowing what I was in for. I said, you know, well, hey, we want a huge halftime show, and we want jumbotrons, and we want this and that. And, you know, and I learned quickly that, you know, it's all about, you know, time restraints and resources. This was absolutely just, labor of love from a great team of people, you know, from graphics to our features, like our pregame and our halftime show and our lighting, and our beautiful jumbotrons that are in the game this year as well. No, it's just, you know, I think we've had a really good cycle.
Well, you mentioned the jumbotrons. I didn't talk about that. So what are there? Is it new? Is it new graphics? Is it the jumbotrons themselves actually new? What? Because those are obviously a huge feature, no pun intended, in most NFL stadiums these days.
Yeah, and that's and I know that. And then that's one thing that Mike and I went after when we started talking about what we wanted for presentation this year. And you know, what's really interesting, having the background that I had with the NFL, I didn't know in our relationship that we have a great relationship with the NFL. So why don't we just ask teams if they want to be involved in this? And so about half the teams this year, I think it's like 14 teams, helped us and we got assets from them. And we actually have dynamic jumbotrons for the first time in Madden. They look awesome. They look HD. We have about 21 events that they trigger for in the game, which is great. Going from nothing to 21 dynamic events for jumbotrons is pretty phenomenal. They look fantastic. Everything from, you know, team specific to Super Bowl presentation. It really kind of adds this huge element that I don't know if we necessarily knew we were missing until we have it now. If you watch in our, like I keep saying, our pregame, is really a great breakdown of what you have right off the bat. And we have some really cool cameras that I helped create. We have great, like, low mode kind of hero cameras of our kick returners and coaches and player team huddles. And you'll see things like the jumbotrons in the background and your eye immediately goes to it. They look so good. So we're really excited for that this year.
So as we mentioned at the top, you're new to the role, you're new to making video games. What was the biggest surprise as you look back between what you know right now, preparing to ship a game, getting ready for E3, and when you joined up? What's the biggest surprise that you've had along the way so far?
So I think the biggest surprise that I didn't think about was I'm used to working on commercials. I'm used to working on mini series, TV shows, broadcasts, you know, things like that. At the end of the day, when you're done with that project, you have your DVD, you have your edit, and you're done. What I didn't really know I was in for with the video game, not really thinking about it in this way, not thinking about it as a film, was this thing has like infinite different angles it can take, and it's not on rails, and it's like this endless edit. So you need to think about things like variety and all the edge cases that can possibly happen. And so that was one of the biggest kind of like, wow, I have to wrap my head around this thing as being like 300 movies happening at once as opposed to one. So that, you know, which was really cool. It's definitely, made me a little bit sharper here.
And does the fact that these games are living once they ship change what you can do or change your approach? I mean, are there things that you are perhaps going to be able to put in place post release? Obviously, like, it's not like Ultimate Team, right? Where Ultimate Team is constantly getting updates and franchise or rosters are constantly getting updates. But when it comes to the stuff that you're in charge of, does it being sort of a living game even after it ships change or alter your approach or how you would go about perhaps delivering updates and new aspects to the overall presentation?
You know, it doesn't change anything as far as like when we work to deliver, you know, this game. It, for me, not at all. We want to deliver on our targets that we have for when we deliver. Obviously, there is the option to talk about, you know, sending patches and things like that with no plan on my end as of right now. What I love about the game being alive, like you're saying, like living, is that when we start planning for 16, look at all this amazing work we've done for 15. So, I mean, oh my gosh, we've made such a great, you know, progress this year that I'm so excited for whatever's next. That's what I'm excited about, why it's living.
So now you've been working on the game. You are on the other side. You're going to be seeing the reactions of the public at large once this is unveiled at E3, which is happening as we are speaking. What do you expect the longtime Madden fan reactions to be when they see what you got cooking?
Well, I think immediately they're going to love graphics. I think that it's definitely a Gen 4 game right now. I think that it's they're going to see that. They're going to see helmets. They're going to see the lighting and the shots, especially the halftime show and things like that. And they're going to go, wow, that's definitely a change from 25. So I think people eat with their eyes, right? So immediately that's what they're going to see. But they're going to see that other level, the beneath the surface stuff. The stuff that we've actually, spent so much time thinking about and spending logic creating. So really the storytelling of that game. And then obviously I'm not speaking for gameplay right now, but there are so much changes in defense for gameplay. I know Rex already talked about. But yeah, I think that's really what they're going to see. They're going to see that the game looks and makes sense.
Well, as a longtime Madden player, I am excited to see what you got cooking. Brian Murray, director of presentation, thank you so much for taking the time. Hope you have a great E3. Good luck putting the finishing touches on the game. I know that it is, this is your first Madden that you're shipping, so that is a big deal. So congratulations on that. And hey, we look forward to talking to you again as new stuff comes down the pike.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Press Row Podcast brought to you by Operation Sports. I'm your host, Richard Grisham. Please subscribe to this show via iTunes, Stitcher Radio, the Windows app, or just go to Operation Sports every day, and that's where you'll find us as well. Wherever you get it, please make sure that you rate and review it and comment on it, because that helps keep the show going. Also, please be sure to follow the show on Twitter at Press Row Podcast, as well as all of our panelists and supporters, including Operation Sports' Chris Sanner at Chris_SNR, Polygon's Owen Good at Owen Good, Polygon's Smith Sarkar at Smith Sarkar, Operation Sports Steve Noah at Steve_OS, Pasta Padre's Brian Weedy at Pasta Padre, US Gamer's Cat Bailey at the_CatBot, TJ Lowerman at ThatSportsGamer, and me, your host, Rich Grisham at Rich Grisham, as well as, of course, Operation Sports at Operation Sports. Again, thank you so much to the great folks at Operation Sports for making the show happen, and especially thank you to our listeners. We really appreciate your support.